Jeremiah chapter 2. Last week, you know, we started off the book. I'm not too much for background stuff because I never think it's that much of a benefit. Jeremiah, 40 years of prophecy, takes place over several kings. The last good king, Josiah, much reform. He was born probably during the reign of Manasseh. Was he a contemporary of Isaiah? Probably not. I don't think their lives overlapped at any point. Was he aware that Manasseh had put Isaiah in a log and sawed the log in half? Probably. I mean, everyone else probably would have been. It's some kind of a notable thing. So like when he's called to be a prophet, it's not like people stand like, ooh, God, pick me. I want to be a prophet. I want to get sawed in half. It's not like people are aching to hear the message. And he's a young man calling people to repentance. I don't care how old you are. That's never a popular message. But sometimes it's the message that needs to be. You know, I was thinking a lot about love because in the last few weeks we've been looking at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And 13 is kind of pivotal there, right? Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is faith, right? I mean, if you don't got faith, no. Faith is important. Listen, if you don't got hope, you are depressed. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's nothing to live for. Hope is important, right? No, not the most important, though. Love is. Now, how does love square with repent? You are messing up big time. Repent. I think it squares very nicely. You know, we have this thing, this saying we call tough love. I'm sorry that it, whoever came up with that, I think it's wrong. Like, if you take your grandchildren out for an ice cream sundae or a banana split or and you splurge and you get them all with the bananas and the whipped cream and the jimmies and all kinds of ice cream and it's oozing out the side with the chocolate syrup is, Ron says, I got to leave, I'll be right back, you know, and if you do that, I think that's a very, very loving thing to do. But I don't think it's very loving to do three times a day, seven times a week. You know, if you let your children, our granddaughter's eight, if we let the eight-year-old plan the menu, she's not going to say, broccoli, I need more broccoli. Mammy, you never give us enough broccoli. But someday you got to tell her, no, honey, this is what you need to eat. If the 7 and the 8-year-olds were in the menu, by the time they were like 10, they'd be 400 pounds. They'd look like a beach ball with legs. They'd have acne at like 9, no teeth left. It's not called tough love, it's just love. No, dear, sometimes what's needed is a firm hand. Sometimes you've got to deliver the goods. You've got to tell them, this is what God says. And it's very loving to call people to repentance, but it's never easy. The prophet's life, it's not an easy life, but it's very loving. What does selfishness look like? No, I'm not delivering the message. I want people to like me and forget it. I ain't saying it. But no, he goes over. Now, here's this more along the lines of a cut. Now is like prophecy and proper starts, okay? Chapter 2. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, listen, this is the word of the Lord. I read a lot of commentary, and I was reading like a list of commentaries on Jeremiah and what the expert says the best commentaries were. And so I'm reading along this, and I click on this, and it has a little drop down. And I read all the reviews. It's people with more degrees than Celsius, they think that it's like, well, this one here, you know, it's kind of a charming, but it, you know, he really believes that the Bible is the word of God. How quaint and stuff. And, you know, this professor's got, he's got a, you know, a degree in divinity from Harvard or something like that, which isn't worth, if it's sheepskin, it ain't worth the sheep. Probably want that back, you know what I mean? It's probably like, and all these people, like, it's incredible to me how, like, people who should know something don't even know this is the word of God. Listen, Jeremiah has no problem whatsoever. The word of the Lord came to me. Any questions? Jeremiah, what are you thinking? What are you some kind of, I'm just telling you what happened. The word of the Lord came to me. Now I'm going to give it to you. This is very, very important because, my goodness, I'm not sure, this is a Wednesday night cry. We're a different breed of cat. I'm not sure everyone Sunday morning believes that. The word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, the land that was not sown. Espousals, what are we talking about? We're talking about that first love, you know, the honeymoon period, when before the drudgery set in, before the, you know, the ball and chain, before it was just not, don't look at me like that, honey. I'm not you. I'm just talking about, you know how some marriages, none of our marriages, you know how some marriages are, you know, they're tedious, they're just very, very difficult and stuff like this. He's talking about, you remember when it was magic? You remember when we just loved each other? You remember we could just sit and talk and everything was just like, and you could almost like see the heart, you know, the newlyweds or the ones, you know, just about to get married or the ones just newly married. You can almost see the hearts floating between them. How cute are they? We love that. We love that. Oh, nobody in particular. Don't look at anyone, embarrass people and stuff like that. And he's saying, I remember that. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, when you the love of thy espousals. You know, I always call Sue's my bride, not my wife. You know, and Jesus calls the church his bride, not his wife. Now, Israel is the wife of Jehovah. You say, well, that's the same thing. No. There's Israel and there's the church, and never the twain shall meet. When people, members of Israel, become part of the church, it's not Israel anymore, they're church, okay? And that they become the bride of Christ. Israel is the wife of Jehovah. I like bride better. I'm just saying, you know, all things being equal. Bride still has some of that ha-cha-cha in it. Wife is like, you might say like, the wife. Or like you would say, the battle axe, the wife. Oh, the ball and chain, the wife. Not anyone's wife here. I'm just saying some people, that's almost kind of like the connotation in some circles. But I like bride, and this is what he's talking about, that bride, that when you were still young and there was still a lot of heat and a lot of like enthusiasm and a lot of like excitement. Hey, I remember that. When you went to follow after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not so, God's saying, I remember, don't you remember? I think, you know, a lot of times what couples need is just a good memory. Selective memory. You can't remember everything. I mean, you know, you live in two people get married. Well, two sinners living in the same house. Bad stuff is going to happen at some point. You can't remember. You can't have a great memory for that. You got to remember the time of your espousals. Look, Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Yeah. Guys manning up all, yeah, you'll become sniffing around my woman. That goes going to go real bad. God's saying the same thing. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hey, I remember when, you know, it was just you and me. Anyone try to mess up? Hey, what happened? They get out of Egypt, right? Oh, yeah? Oh, Pharaoh, you going to mess with my people? That's a bad idea, Pharaoh. Go swimming. See how you like that. You drowning little boys in the Nile. See how your army likes swimming in the Red Sea from the bottom. Now Amalek comes against Israel. How'd that go with Amalek? Not so good. They went into the promised land. People stood against them. How'd that go? Not as good as you might think. Why? All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Why? Because I'm crazy in love. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord. What iniquities have your fathers found in me, that they've gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and have become vain? Hey, what did I do? Remember, we used to love each other so much. What happened? What did I do? That's what God's saying. Imagine God doing anything wrong. Well, Lord, it got stale. I decided to bag it. I'm stepping up. I'm trading you in. I'm getting a better God. Right? Maybe that's not a good selection, as we'll see. God's saying, hey, is it me? What iniquity have your fathers found in me that they're gone far from me? Look at and have walked after vanity and have become vanity. It's vain. It's a vain pursuit. It's fruitless. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, to a land of deserts and of pits, to a land of drought and of the shadow of death, to a land that no man passed, through, and where no man dwelt? Hey, I brought you all that way. People don't normally walk across that desert all by themselves. You know, I did that. Again, they're not saying that. They're not thinking that. They're not thinking in those terms, and that's the problem. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof, but when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. So I made the going for you really good. I blessed you, and you messed up. You defiled my land. You made my heritage an abomination. There was a reason God brought Israel in there and had him judge the Canaanites. He was really bugged at the Canaanites. You remember when he tells Abraham, he says, the iniquity of the Canaanite is not yet full. That's why you people are going down to Egypt. I'm going to bless you like crazy. You're going to multiply like fish. You're going to come back into the land. By that time, I would have had it up to here with the Canaanites. And then they come in and they do the same thing the Canaanites did. That's not a good idea. And here he's calling them on it. You made my heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also, don't look at me. It means leaders here. That's all it means, okay? The ones who should have been the leaders. What? Kings, judges, prophets for profit, not the real prophet, not the real McCoy, but the prophets who, remember like Ahab and Jezebel? They had like all these prophets, and there was one, Micaiah, there. Remember that? Jehoshaphat's going off to battle with Ahab. Don't you got to, and they're all like, there's 400 of them or something like that going around. Oh, with these horns, you'll push at the king of, I think it was Syria at the time. I can't remember. And they're all like, all saying the same thing. Just telling him what he wants to hear. Prophets for profit. And Jehoshaphat says, is there a prophet of the Lord here? You know what I mean? But this is the leaders. They let them down. They're supposed to lead in spiritual matters, but they haven't. And God's calling on it. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Why? Why hasn't God just had a belly full? Just said, okay, I'm done with you. Listen. There's something you got to know about our God. He's faithful. You know why? You know why adultery is a bad thing? Because it goes against the nature of God. He said, I wouldn't cheat on you. I wouldn't two-time you. I wouldn't leave you high and dry for another people. We make a promise. We have a covenant. I'm a covenant-keeping God. Even when we fail to keep covenant, he says, what? Look at him. This is almost pathetic. Yet I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children will I plead. What a merciful, gracious God. Now, if I were God, don't you love the statements to start out that way? If I were God. If I were God, I had a belly full of these people. For that matter, a belly full of us. I don't understand why God loves us. Listen, let's make it a little bit more personal. I don't understand why God loves me. I mean, I just don't. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there's be such a thing. Chittim, Cyprus, Kedar, I believe that to be in Saudi Arabia. But look, all he's saying, hey, check out the east, check out the west, south. Doesn't matter. The compass points aren't the important thing. Look all over the globe. Have you ever seen such a thing as what he's saying? Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods. But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. You got the real God, the real creator, the God, the only one. And you're trading them in for what? Stocks and stones, as we'll see here later on, right? Abominations. Have you ever seen this happen before? It's a rhetorical question. And God's like, really, hey, what have I done to you people anyway? I mean, besides bless. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, a cistern is a hole dug in the rock that catches rainwater. It would be filled with plaster or something like that, and then traditionally you'd put a stone or something over it. So, because it caught rainwater, it would have all kinds of stuff in it. Bug larvae and, you know, mosquitoes are breeding this. So you drink your water, you get plenty of protein with it. Now, living water is water that's moving and most often bubbling up, the idea of a spring or something like this, or a brook, or moving water. You remember when we took the Seven Oaks guys up to Katahdin? Remember Roaring Brook? We're all drinking out. The guys, you can't drink out of that. You say, you can't drink out. It's the most delicious, best tasting, coldest, most refreshing water maybe on the whole planet ever. It's moving. There's nothing in it. You know. I mean, what's that? Yeah. Yeah. Jump in, took a bath. Now, if somebody's like got their nasty, dirty feet like a couple feet up. Yeah, don't drink there. Go up above them and take a drink. But other than that, it's like, what's better water? And that's the idea. Now think of that nasty old cistern. Well, you have the living water, me, God's saying. And you've traded in for a cistern. And by the way, it's not even a good cistern. It's a broken cistern that holds no water. That was a bad idea. That was a bad trade. Listen, Jesus says, if anyone thirst, how many people have started with Jesus but didn't finish with Jesus? Is it the same thing? Is this true of them as well? They've committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Is that Jesus? Yes, it sure is. And hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns, can hold no water. How many guys, like, you know, faithful for a season, for a time, start with God, get all born again, baptized, you know, they're there every time the church doors open. Hey, listen, I'm thinking of them all in my mind. I get a whole list of them. You want to hear the names? I wouldn't do that. But, man, it's like, really? Who's thirsting your quench? Who's quenching your thirst now? I mean, something less. Broken cisterns. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made him his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. What's that, Assyria? What's that, Babylon who's coming? Yeah, I think those are the idea. Also, the children of Noph and Tahpenes have broken the crown of his head. Noph and Tahpenes are two cities in Egypt. He's got trouble from the north, trouble from the south. Why? Because when you walk with me, God says, you were blood-bought and bulletproof. Nobody could. Remember that million-man army that came against, I think it was Jehoshaphat. You know, the Ethiopians with the Lubims and there's a whole list of people came against them. What came of that? Nothing. They had a bad day. Remember the Assyrians coming against Jerusalem? 185,000 slain in one night. The angel of the Lord goes out, let me take care of your light work there, Hezekiah. You just stay here and, you know, I'll take care of this. Who's moving against Israel? Now everybody. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself? in that thou hast forsaken the Lord God when he led thee by the way? Haven't you done this to yourself, he's saying? Yeah, yeah. And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the river? Remember, we're talking about, hey, I'm the fountain of living water. Why are you drinking that from that cesspool, from that mud hole? He's got them up down in Egypt. He's got them up in Assyria. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see if it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Because what's the bottom line? Like I say, the guy who starts off with Jesus doesn't finish. Nothing's going to happen to me. No problem. No fear of God. Listen, the problem with America is no fear of God. The problem with our government is no fear of God. The problem with our schools and education is get no fear of God. The Supremes, what happens? You get a black robe on and suddenly you lose your mind. What's wrong with them? They got no fear of God. That's the problem. It's always the problem. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. Harlot, prostitute. It's not pretty language. Hey, I broke your bands. I freed you. Yay, God. Now I'm just going to go after some other god. And God looks at that as adultery, as spiritual adultery. This idolatry is to God adultery. And they're playing the harlot. Very instructive. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the book of Hosea. You should be at least passingly familiar, even if you haven't studied and taken time to study the whole thing, you know, verse by verse, something like this. Hosea marries a prostitute, Gomer, because God told him to. And then she leaves him several times, and he goes and he buys her back, and it's painful for the man to go through all this. And it's a picture. Hosea loves Gomer. Why? I don't know. These affairs of the heart. Who can explain love? It's love. It's, who knows? But he loves his Gomer, and she goes and plays the prostitute. And he's got this like home life with kids and everything that he's had with her. And she keeps going out, and she ends up broke and destitute, and he buys her back and makes her his wife and redeems her, and she's just not faithful to him. And it's a picture of Israel and the Lord. Now, don't get too comfortable and get too smug. Oh, this is Israel, so we ain't got nothing to worry about. That's why are we reading this then? I mean, you're on every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot, yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? It's not me. I planted you right. I put you beside streams of living water. It's not the seed. For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thy iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. Nitre is like soda, and I have an idea it's like caustic, and you take thee much soap. I don't care how much soap you use, what you've done, you ain't never going to wash that out, is kind of the idea. Yet thy iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. You're going to wash this sin away with a little soap and water. How canst thou say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam? See thy way in the valley, know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways. It's not like you haven't left a trail, is the idea there. A wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure is her occasion. Who can turn her away? All thee that seek her will not weary themselves, in her mouth they shall find her. Withhold thy foot from being unshod and thy throat from thirst. But thou sayest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. God's calling repentance and saying, no, I'm kind of committed to this. How many people like that, by the way? Even in the church age and among Jesus Christ, well, I've kind of done this, and now, you know, I've messed up this marriage or this life or this situation or this relationship or this. What are you getting, your marching orders from hell? Or you, what kind of doctrine are you reading? What do you know about God? Or what do you suspect about God that's not true? You know, his mercies are new every morning. Have you had a bad spell? I'm just not a big fan of the past. Listen, our worst moment, if we had it up here on the screen for everyone to see, we'd all slink out of here like so shamefaced. God knows all that stuff, and he's not ashamed to call us his children. His mercies are new every morning. They're like, oh, I have loved strangers, and after them I will go. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets. Saying to a stalk, what's a stalk? Well, it's a stump of a tree, a stalk. Thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Here's the thing. The stalk and a stone, they've carved these images out of a tree stump. You know, a little wooden one. Now, out of a stone, you got to get a hammer and a chisel, and you carve up your little Buddha god or whatever. And, you know, and then when it's the time of the trouble, they will say, arise and save us. If you can build your God, he's not really in a position to save you. And that's the point. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, for according to the number of the cities are thy gods, O Judah. You got more gods out there than you got cities. You know, it's crazy how many you've built, you've designed, how are they helping you, by the way? God mocking them. Wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye have all you have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. In vain have I smitten thee. Look, anyone ever had children, you can beat them. First thing in the morning to last thing at night. You can beat them till your arm's tired, then you can rest and then beat them some more. And it does not do any good whatsoever. Anyone had those children? I hope the answer to everyone is, no, I haven't. But you've seen them. You've seen them. There's no correcting them. They're just steadfast and they're obstinate in their ways. They're just like, you can whip them. I mean, I'm not suggesting anyone does. I'm just saying you could, and they would just, that all you got? Ain't nothing. I'm going to go in my pernicious evil and just kind of get, they don't care. This is what he's saying here. In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets. Remember Isaiah? Well, it wasn't a sword, it was a saw. But it's the same idea. What, you know, Jesus would say, what prophet didn't your fathers kill? Yeah, that's a short list. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. So the correction was the prophets. But it was a waste of time because you didn't listen to them, he's saying. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. Hey, we're going to do it our own way. We're the boss. We're the captain of our own destiny. We're going to do this thing ourselves. Okay. I hear that today, more often than not. Not in church. Hopefully. Well, I see it. I do see that. I see it in subtle ways. Like I say on Sunday, two problems. People come up and they got two kinds of problems, right? Big and little. What are the big ones? What are the little ones? The little ones are this. Somebody comes and they want a biblical answer. I give them a biblical answer. I show them from Scripture. And they say, oh, okay, well, I'll do that then. Small problem. Well, I don't care what it is. The problem is just melted away. They're going to apply Scripture to it. Everything's going to work out. Now, they come to me and they got a problem, right? And I say, well, Scripture says, and they say, well, but... Well, I don't think, oh, but now all of a sudden, I don't care what the problem is, now it's huge. I can't What do you want? What do you want? A magic wand? What do you want, rabbits and hats? I don't have rabbits. I ran out of hats. What do you want me to do? This is what will work. Oh, we ain't going to do that. Well, what are you going to be? I'm going to be captain of my own destiny. I'm going to do it my way. Well, it's not going to go well. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. If I only had a nickel for every... Never mind. Okay, let's keep going. We are lords. We will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Now, okay, listen, think of a bride now, right? They might have forgotten something barred or something blue or whatever, right? They might have left their bouquet at home or their, oh, my earrings, where are my earrings? Has a bride in the history of the world ever forgot her bridal gown? Ever. This is what he's saying. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people forgotten me days without number. This is crazy. A bride couldn't even forget her bridal gown. How could you forget me? I've been so gracious to you. I've been so good. I've been so blessing. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it out by secret search, but upon all these. I haven't had to go and do this secret, you know, search, because it's wet out in the open. What blood of the innocents? Oh, I think it's passing their children through the fire to their false god. Is it Molech? Is it Chemosh? I think it's Molech. That was part of the ritual, was child sacrifice. See, if they just worship a different god, that's problematic, but the problem is it always leads to sin. Listen, there's a false god named Allah. What is that a problem? Yeah, if you're a Christian or Israelite, or by the way, a Buddhist or a Hindu. Jews first, right? Then Christians. They're going to kill in that order. They're going to wipe out all of it. Well, they say they're going to wipe out all of Israel. They're going to wipe out all of Christendom. And then they're going to, I don't know if they got Hindus next on the list or Buddhists next on the list. But they're going to wipe out, you know, 83% of the planet. And then when there's just only Muslims left, and the Sikhs will start in against the Sunnis and vice versa. It's a cult of death. Listen. People say that we're just like them. We're a fundamentalist. I say Jesus is Lord. They say, no, he's not. He's just a prophet. There's no God but Allah, and they say that Muhammad is his messenger. That's what they say. No difference between me and Jesus and them and Muhammad, right? No difference whatsoever. There's a little bit of a difference. If me and you argue, you might end up with a headache, but at least you have your head. It's a big difference. If you're married to a Muslim, it's a big, big difference. Their equal rights, opportunities are, hey, I had friends in Kuwait who said the women couldn't drive, except in they have like a compound there where they have people in from another country. The women can drive there. They better not be out in town outside the compound driving or voting or not have the, what's that ninja looking like attire on, huh? Burqa. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it matters how you believe. It really does. Here, the problem is the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way, that thou also shall be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria? Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thy head, for the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. Let's start chapter 3, but I don't think we'll finish it, although I was hoping to, but I'm too loquacious tonight. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man, shall he return unto her again? By the way, God had prohibited that in the Old Testament. He didn't prohibit divorce, but Jesus says he did that because of the hardness of your heart. But God did prohibit this. If you, there's two people married, right? And she leaves and cheats on him, she can't come back to him again. Now you're saying, well, wait a second. That's not quite right. I mean, we've had people had an affair and they've got back together and it's okay again. Look, this is the point. God says, okay, let's say you get a divorce at 10 o'clock in the morning, right? And then at 12, you plan to marry somebody else. And then you tie with him at 2 o'clock and you divorce again and you go back to your first husband. And it's all okay because there was a divorce and then there was a divorce and back to the first husband. You just had a God-sanctioned affair. That's why there's a taboo on that. That's why you can't do that according to Scripture, okay? That's what he's saying here. Thou say, if a man put away his wife, as you go from him, become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not the land be greatly polluted? Now here's the point. Why are we bringing this up? God, I want to know. And God says, but thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return unto me, saith the Lord. You said you can't do that. You can't get divorced, marry somebody else, divorce him, and go back to the first husband. But you've done that with me, like, a lot, God says. Lift up thine eyes now unto the high place and see where thou hast not been lain with. There's no place left. Where can you look where you haven't committed idolatry / adultery? In the ways hast thou sat from them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Strong language. It's a strong sin. Does this sound like a lover rejected? I think so, and I think that's the point. Remember in Exodus chapter 20, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now, if I were to say that, it would almost be blasphemous. God says that about himself when he's laying out the Ten Commandments. I was in that, it was in my part of my daily reading this morning. Therefore, the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. I'm not blessing you with rain. Drought conditions. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it in the, to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. I really don't want to stop there, but I'm really going to, because the stuff is tougher sledding than, I guess I can read a little bit and just say, okay, this is this, but I kind of want you to feel the heartache of God here. Why? We're not that way. We're faithful to God. I think so, but I mean, I've seen him come. I've seen him go. Marriages are like that, and people are like that with God. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, you remember we were talking about love? This is my last point. I'm closing my Bible, see? In 1 Corinthians 13, remember we were talking about love? And the word there is agape, right? And we all have agreed that, or we've all been taught in the past, that's the word for divine love. No, it's not. It's not. Go ahead and study it on your own. Find, you get your strongest exhausted, because look at the New Testament, all the places where it says agape. You'll find John 3:18, men agape darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Don't tell me, please don't tell me, that God gave divine love to unsaved men for their wicked, dark deeds, because he didn't. Jesus says to the Pharisees, you love to have the uppermost, the chief seats at feasts, and you love to be called of men rabbi, agape. Don't tell me God gave divine love to Pharisees for the prominence in feasts and in prayer. Don't tell me that, okay? So what is 1 Corinthians? What is love? You know, in a word, commitment. That's the whole thing. God's committed to us. Is he in love with us? Like his heart's all a flutter? You know, remember that love of the spouses when you're your spouse, or it was a girlfriend at the time, or your fiance, or whatever, and they walked in the room, you get all choked up and sweaty palms and all nerved up and stuff like that. Is that how it is with God? Is he all like sweaty palms when he sees us and I don't think so. I don't think it's like that. But I think he's committed to us. I think he loves us. I think he's... We're not committed to him all the time. He's still committed to us. That's love. That's it in a nutshell. It's not always... I hate to say it. It's not always sexy. It's not always popular. It's not always easy, but it's what we've, it's our choice. We're committed. We're in for a penny, in for a pound. That's it. That's love. It's not about us. It's about others. It's about loving God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, putting God first, and putting others before us. Love everyone else as yourself, right? It's easy capizzy, I mean, to figure out. It's not easy to do. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to do outside the Spirit of God. But God loves us. I think that's just something we got to remember. And then there's the idea of commitment. This is what, you know, we can look at Israel and say, oh, Israel, look at what they did. Oh, forget that. The reason we're studying is because we're prone to do that. Let's stand and pray, and Matt will. Matt, are you going to play something? Okay. I don't know. He's still fighting it a little bit there. Yeah, let's pray. Lord, we want to be committed. We want to be found faithful. At the end of the day, when all the dust settles, we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Help us, Lord. Set a fire under us, a holy fire that makes us never depart from you. Lord, now we have tasted the water of life, that living water. And Lord, how could we ever be satisfied with anything less? Help us to have that good memory that remembers, Lord, how, you know, the time of our espousals when we were just new and we just loved the Lord. We didn't know anything, but we know we loved you. And help us to maintain that, Lord, that white hot intensity, that fervor, Lord, that you would never slip to second place in any venue in our lives ever. You'd always be the key, the our reason to be, our God. We thank you for all you've done for us. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.